Amen. That was beautiful as always, Marguerite. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to all. You may be in your home or your car or here in the sanctuary, but we gather as one under the umbrella of God's presence. Psalm 96, verses 11 and 12 say, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy." Do you agree that God has made his presence known in the astounding beauty of springtime this week? It has been gorgeous. The clear blue skies, the brilliant sunshine, and the colors of a world that is coming back to life assures us of a loving creator. On the other hand, today our hearts are also once again saddened by the loss of a dear member of our church family, Kenny Shiflett. We remember and celebrate Ken, his witty humor and his sly grin and his courage in facing cancer over the last couple of years. We lift up Elva and her entire family in our thoughts and prayers. We love you. I have a feeling they're watching this morning. Our opening songs of praise remind us of the promise that Kenny is now experiencing as a reality. We may suffer, we may experience deep heartache and sadness, we may find ourselves in times of discouragement and confusion, but we have a God who is steadfast, who is faithful, forgiving, and eternally present with us. We are not without hope, for Jesus has given us the gift of eternal life. He alone is our Redeemer and King. He lives, and so shall we. Please stand as we proclaim these songs in truth and praise.
One, two, three, four.
I know he rescued my soul. Blood has covered my sin. I believe. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. Rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I'll raise a banner.
Today, Pastor Susan's teaching is based on the theme, I'll believe it when I see it. I struggle, and maybe you do too, with believing in what I cannot see. I do believe God shows himself in creation, in the people that surround us, in events and answered prayers, and sometimes in just the peaceful stillness of time spent with him. But in my humanness, I sure wish I could see him, to know that I know that I know he is there. Faith, trust, letting go of my physical eyes to see with eyes of faith and a heart that trusts. I can relate to Thomas. Most days I am Thomas. Lord, help us to trust in you.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could.
trust, I will trust, I will trust in you.
To stand and turn and give a wink and a wave. I do have faith that hugs and handshakes are right around the corner, but for today, let's give those waves and winks.
Well, this time I'd like to invite the children to come forward for our children's time. Good morning. It's good to see all of you. I brought something with me. You might recognize this. Does it look good to eat?
Corn.
It's corn, yeah. It's really hard corn, too. Looks like I didn't cook it. No, it has not been cooked. Would anybody, if we could eat in church, would anybody want some?
No.
No, not looking very, very yummy. I doubt that would, you might break a tooth on that. That is very hard. Now, if you put it in the microwave and you cooked it, what would it turn into?
Popcorn.
Popcorn. Oh, this looks much better to eat, right? I mean, now that you say, oh, okay, I could that would be a good snack to have some popcorn. Well, you know, our scripture this morning is about doubting Thomas. And when all of his friends saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, they were so excited and they were happy. And then Thomas wasn't there, and he was like, "I'm not going to believe it was Jesus until I see him myself." And I can kind of understand that. Sometimes we need to, you know, we want to see, but sometimes for us, we just have to feel Jesus in our hearts, you know? We have to just take it on faith that this could be something good to eat, right? It could be delicious. It's just not there yet. So keep that in mind, that sometimes we have to wait, and sometimes, you know, we just have to have faith that, yeah, Jesus is there. We can't see him. Like Miss Jackie said, you know, some days I just have a hard time, but just remember that Jesus loves you, and he came back from the dead so that we could have eternal life. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we give you thanks that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave us abundant love. Help us to believe even where we have not seen. Amen. And you guys are going to children's church.
The scripture lesson this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, and we'll read it responsively. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus had many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we have come through the joy of Easter, the glory of resurrection. And so we come today to Doubting Thomas, acknowledging that there are times when we have doubts. But Lord, help us to feel that resurrection power in our lives. Help us to show it in all that we say and do. Amen. Well, there was a farmer who was on the witness stand in a trial, and the lawyer asked him, "Did you not say at the scene of the accident that you were fine?" And the farmer said, "Well, I did, but I had just gotten my mule Bessie in the trailer." And the lawyer says, "Now, come on, I just want to establish the fact that you said you were fine at the scene of the accident." And the farmer said, "Well, I'm trying to explain that." And he was being sued by the insurance company, and the judge said, "Well, let him explain, let him have his say, let him explain." And so he wanted to hear what the farmer had to say. So Joe thanked the judge, and he said, "Well, as I was saying, I had just loaded my mule Bessie in the trailer, and we were driving down the highway when this huge semi-truck ran into us, and into my truck and my trailer, and, you know, I was throwing into the ditch, and Bessie was throwing into the other ditch, and is still in the trailer, and I could hear old Bessie moaning and groaning and making these terrible noises. I knew she was in terrible shape. And, you know, a little bit after that, a highway patrolman came,
And he could hear Bessie moaning and groaning and making those terrible noises. And he went over and he looked at her, and then he took out his gun and he shot her right between the eyes. And then he came over to me, and he still had his gun out, and he asked me, "How are you?" And I said, "I'm fine." "I'm fine. Everything's good. Just keep that in mind." Well, we have circumstances, and we say what we think we are supposed to say. But I took my husband to have cataract surgery on Thursday morning, and my husband has always had terrible vision. He can only see out of one eye, and he's had to wear glasses or contacts almost his entire life. And so the surgeon suggested that in addition to having the cataract removed from his eye, he could put in something called a toric lens, and that lens would actually correct most of his vision problems in that eye. And the surgery takes like 10 minutes to do. So, you know, he went in, he came out, and they had him sit there for a few minutes, make sure he was okay, and then I drove him home. And the whole time I was driving him home, his glasses were still tucked in my purse. But Mike is looking at the passing scenery, and he's going, "I can read that sign. I can read that license plate number over there. I can read the name on that mailbox." And it was like that the whole way home. He was just so excited about it. And who could blame him? His whole life he hadn't been able to read those road signs and those mailbox numbers without his glasses on. And now it was all clear. Not only, was the shadow of the cataract gone, but everything had come into focus. And so it seemed like a miracle to him. And he kept talking about it through the next day, looking at the television. "I can read the subtitles on there." For a while, I had to read the subtitles to him because of the shadow from the cataract. But now, even without his glasses, he could see. And so it reminded me that miraculous events are worth talking about. He could see, and he could see, and it'll get better. So he was marveling at how clear the world looked to him for the first time without his glasses on. And I wonder if that was what it was like for the disciples who saw the risen Jesus, that they had seen something so miraculous, they had to talk about it. You know, they had had this terrible, terrible experience on Friday, seeing their leader crucified. And here they are behind locked doors, we assume probably out of fear, perhaps that the religious leaders will turn on them, and they might be the next ones to die. And so there they are. And it's true that some of the women had come to them with this outrageous story about how the body of Jesus was not in the tomb, and they had actually seen him, but that just seemed like some wild tales from the women. And so, who could believe such a tall tale? Until the figure appears in the semi-darkness of this locked room and shows the wounds on his hands and the wound in his side. And then they believe. They see that it is Jesus. They see that Jesus' body was missing from the tomb because it was up and walking around. That's a miracle. And within a few moments, Jesus is saying, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I imagine that when Jesus departs, his disciples begin to speak to one another. "Did you see? He was right here. I saw the wounds in his hands and in his sides. I'm not scared of what's going to happen anymore. We saw him. We really saw him. It's a miracle." And that must have been the scene that greeted Thomas when he came back into the room from wherever he had been. It was probably noisy and joyous and this big hubbub. as they describe what had happened in his absence. And Thomas is not thrilled about this testimony. In fact, he seems a little annoyed. I'm not going to believe it until I see him for myself, till I can put my hands in his side and see the wounds on his hands. And so he goes through the whole next week in this probably disgruntlement as he hears the disciples talking about how wonderful and amazing it was. He has missed out. And darn, he's not going to believe it until he sees it. But then Jesus shows up. And not only does he show up, but he doesn't scold Thomas. He doesn't say, hey, all these other guys were saying they saw me. You should have believed them. No. He says, if you need to touch, to see and touch my hands, if you need to put your hand in the wound in my side, then come. Do it. And he does. And he believes. But Jesus says, you know, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. Jesus' resurrected body retains its scars. They are not the long, healed, faded scars of a long ago battle. These are fresh wounds, still raw enough to allow a doubting disciple to place his hands in them. And I imagine that perhaps Jesus winced when Thomas did so. But it was important. It showed that Jesus was really there. He wasn't some ghost hovering a foot above the ground. No, he was really there. Real and in the body. And he's letting them know about the reality, about his death, that he is with them in the difficult and hard places. He knows what it's like to suffer, and he is with them. We live in a culture that, well, there's a lot of artifice. You know, you can make yourself look really good on Instagram, or you can just post the good stuff on Facebook. You know, you can make your life look really great. But then there's what's going on behind the facade. Maybe as Christians, our best appeal is that we are willing to embrace real bodies, real scars, and real pain. Jesus Christ in the flesh appears to the disciples and then to Thomas. This is the Savior with the wounds. But he has come back to life. He has shown that there is life after suffering. And if you're like me, you have a few scars. Some have faded over time. The place where my brother, when I was 3, was trying to shave my legs and took the top of my kneecap off, that one's pretty much gone. But there's still some others. The place where I had a basal cell carcinoma burned away, and there's a scar at the base of my throat where I had a strep infection, and there's the 3 incisions from my gallbladder surgery. We are known by our scars. In Homer's epic, The Odyssey, Odysseus finally returns to his family, but he comes back in disguise. He wants to know how he'll be received. And so he's disguised as an old man, and nobody recognizes him, not his wife, Penelope, not his son. But that night, just before bed, Odysseus' nurse washes his feet, and she thinks she's merely attending to an old stranger who's visiting for the night. But as she begins to wash him, she recognizes a scar on the hero's leg, the same scar she remembers from his youth. And at that moment, she realizes who he is. She doesn't recognize him until she sees his scars, because the scars don't lie. The wounds that Jesus carries do not lie. But here is the miracle. Life triumphed over death, and we received the victory. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We believe because we've heard the stories. We've seen Christ in other people, I hope. I believe where I haven't seen. Some days it's hard. Some days it's harder than others. But when I think about what I've heard, what I've seen, I know that Jesus lives. I believe that Jesus knocked Paul to the ground on the road to Damascus. Even though sometimes I have to say, like the man who wanted healing for his son, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Charles Colson, who was the hatchet man for President Richard Nixon, was, of course, indicted in the Watergate scandal and went to prison for 7 months. And while he was in prison, Colson became a Christian and remarked that it was his own criminal conviction that proved the resurrection to him. And he put it like this. I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, and they proclaimed the truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten and tortured and stoned and put in prison, and they still testified to the living Jesus. They would not have endured if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep that lie up for 3 weeks. And you're telling me 12 apostles could keep a lie going for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. We have the eyewitness testimony of the Gospels, the evidence of the early church's growth, despite all the factors arrayed against it, despite empires, emperors, who were fighting against it. All of that attesting to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But more important than that is the feeling in your heart that Christ lives. That when you walk through the dark places, you do not walk alone. And sometimes you might need someone else to say, Jesus Christ is with you. But when you come through on the other side, you can say it to somebody else when they're in that hard place. And that's how I know Jesus Christ lives. Amen. Well, I appreciate all of the work that people do to make this happen. COVID services are a little more complicated than pre-COVID services, so we thank everyone who has contributed, however they may have done so. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all those who have given of themselves, of their time, of their offering, so that we might be church. Church here in the sanctuary, in the parking lot, on Facebook, in virtual space. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blessings that we have received. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest blessing of all. Amen. Well, we have a few announcements. Of course, if you want to text a prayer, you can text it to 540-495-0501. Tomorrow is the last day to give a contribution for Valley Missions. We've been collecting the different cleaning products and paper bags and all of those things. So if you have anything else for Valley Mission, please bring it by tomorrow, no later than tomorrow. And of course, as Jackie mentioned, Kenny Shiflett passed away last week, And his funeral service will be here at the church on Tuesday at 2 p.m. And visitation will be Monday at Kiger Funeral Home from 4:30 to 7 p.m. So let you know about that. So we want to be in support of the family. And you can look in your happenings and see the flowers that were given in memory or in honor of different folks. And appreciate everyone who donated and contributed. Sanctuary looked beautiful, and we still have some lovely flowers. So if you haven't taken your flowers home yet, make sure you do that. Any other announcements this morning? All right. Well, as I said, we want to be in prayer for the Shiflett family. Continue to pray for Mary Tyree as she's recovering, for Lord Meadows and other folks who are on our prayer list. Let us pray. Gracious God, we gather as your people today to worship you in spirit and in truth. We celebrate your life in us and in the church, your body. Lord, help us to reflect your love back into the world. We give thanks for this beautiful day. And Lord, every day we can give thanks is a beautiful day. We give you thanks for the new life we see around us. We give thanks for new birth. Lord, we appreciate all you do for us. And what do we have that does not come from your hand, from your creation? Lord, we pray this morning for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them hope. Hope in the power of the resurrection, hope in the risen Jesus, hope in the power that you have to bring life out of death. Gracious God, continue to guide us, direct us, to show us the way, help us to understand more fully how we can live together and serve each other. Help us to understand your plan for your body, the church. Help us to give you praise in all things. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And now, let us stand as we're able, and we're going to sing Happy Day. Let's
death and freedom, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Imagine me yours, Jesus, you are mine. In this joy, perfect peace, every pain you find on me will soon celebrate. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same.
Happy day, our Savior lives. May you go forth to be a witness to the world in all that you do, and maybe even sometimes in what you say, that this is a happy day. Amen.